Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Last night, the GOP finally unveiled its own health care reform package. The American Health Care Act would preserve some popular aspects of the health reform passed under President Obama, but the Republican plan would also make some sweeping changes. Key House committees are scheduled to take a vote on the new plan tomorrow, so today it was full court press from leading Republicans now tasked with selling the bill. Here's Oregon Congressman Greg Walden decrying the current health care marketplaces set up under Obamacare.
This insurance market is collapsing before our eyes. The CEO of Aetna said it's in a death spiral. Those aren't our words. Those are his words, and he's in that market. The facts of the matter are not what this will or won't do going forward. Facts are we've arrived at the scene of a pretty big wreck, and we're trying to clean up the mess. And if we don't intercede now, fewer people will have access to insurance, period.
And just in the last hour or so, Health and Human Services Secretary Dr. Tom Price said that cleaning up that mess means getting government out of health care.
The goal of all of this is patient-centered health care, where patients and families and doctors are making medical decisions and not the federal government.
Well, let's get some reaction from here in Massachusetts. Joining us today, Jim Roosevelt. He was CEO of Tufts Health Plan from 2005 to 2016. He's now counsel at Verrill Dana LLP. Jim Roosevelt, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be with you, Becca.
We also have today Jonathan Gruber, professor of economics at MIT and one of the architects of Massachusetts' landmark healthcare reform law. He was also a senior advisor to President Obama on the Affordable Care Act. Professor Gruber, welcome back to you.
Thanks, Megan. Good to be here.
Okay, so gentlemen, let me just get from both of you your top line first reaction to the American Health Care Act presented by House Republicans yesterday. Jonathan Gruber.
Basically, my top line reaction is it's not clear why we need this. I mean, essentially what this bill does is take from the sick, the poor, and the elderly and give to the wealthiest 2% of Americans. And it's not clear why anyone besides those wealthiest 2% should be in favor of this law.
Hmm.
And so I just feel like, as Paul Krugman said today, it's Obamacare 0.5. I just don't feel it's a step backwards, not a step forward, and I just don't see why it makes any sense.
Well, I'm gonna want to explore some of the details of what you just said in a second here. But Jim Roosevelt, your first takeaway?
So I always respect John's point of view, but I'm going to be the cup half full person this time and say that what I think this law does, if you put aside the meaningless rhetoric about Obamacare melting down and being a disaster, which just isn't true, what this bill does is it acknowledges that access to health care and access to health care coverage has been recognized as a right in America, and that was never true before Obamacare. What it then does is, and John's right about this, it makes cuts in funding and changes terms so that there is less coverage and there is less tax on the wealthy. So the fundamental principle is I think, preserved, and that's the great victory of the Affordable Care Act. I think we need to have a lot of debate about the specifics in the language of this bill.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about some of the mechanisms by which, I mean, both of you say there would be cuts in funding. First of all, let's talk about the new scheme for tax credits that the Republican plan has. Under what is popularly called Obamacare now, people making up to, 400% of the federal poverty level were eligible for some subsidies or tax credits. Under this Republican plan, age factors as importantly, if not more importantly, than income. Jonathan Gruber, how might that change things for people?
Sure. I mean, what you have is a comparison between a set of income-based tax credits under Obamacare that were designed to ensure insurance affordability versus essentially just a tax cut under the Republican plan that doesn't really do much for insurance affordability. So let's do a specific example. Take a 59-year-old who earns $16,000 a year. Under Obamacare, that person would have to pay for insurance about $500 a year, or about 3% of their income. Under the Republican alternative, they would pay something like $6,000 or $7,000 a year, or something like 40% or more of their income. So essentially, you just got a situation where you're giving a flat amount that doesn't do anything to ensure affordability for the lowest income Americans. Meanwhile, you're giving a tax break to young and healthy people in the middle class who don't really need it to afford insurance. It's a nice tax break, but if you want to give a tax break, just give a tax break. There's no need to mess with the success of affordable insurance to make that happen.
Jim Roosevelt, do you see the same possible outcome?
I do. Those calculations sound correct to me, and that's where both the mechanics and the dollar amounts matter. And what this does is it makes health insurance more expensive, particularly for Americans below the Medicare eligibility age, but still older members who may or may not still be in the workforce. And it significantly reduces the government's commitment to adequate health care coverage for those who are eligible for Medicaid, such as MassHealth.
Mm. Well, interestingly enough, at least one in four Massachusetts residents, at least 25% of the people in the state are on MassHealth right now. So it's a huge part of the population. But Jim Roosevelt, I want to lean on your experience here as being the head, former head of one of the state's major insurers, Tufts Health Plan. Just this afternoon, Dr. Price, the Secretary of Health and Human Services, you know, talked about the fact that he believes this Republican plan might reverse one of the major problems that he sees under Obamacare, under the Affordable Care Act, and that is the number of insurers who have exited the exchanges. Here's Tom Price.
Last year, there were 232 insurers that were providing coverage, that were offering coverage on the exchange. Now there are 167. That's a loss of about 30% in 1 year alone. And all of this means that patients are not getting the care that they need.
Jim Roosevelt, do you think that that would change with the new plan that the Republican Party is putting forward?
I think that health insurers who are committed to the individual insurance market, regional carriers like Harvard Pilgrim and Tufts Health Plan, and national insurers like Anthem and many of the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans that they own, as well as regional Blue Cross Blue Shield plans, have done fine under Obamacare. These are plans that are committed to offering coverage to individuals. The insurers that have withdrawn from the market fall into basically two categories. They're large national for-profit insurers who have never been really interested in offering health care to individuals. They've only been interested in big employer group plans. That would include United and Aetna and Humana.
Right.
And then the not well capitalized, very small plans who were relying on the government's commitments for payments under the risk adjustment and risk corridors and miscalculated in their premiums.
Mm-hmm.
That includes many of the co-ops around the country. Those are the plans that dropped out. That's all fixable by meeting the government's commitments and by actuarial adjustments to premiums.
Okay. I want to move forward into a different part of this plan. I mean, obviously, it's a giant bill, so we won't cover it all. But some of the other things that have been grabbing headlines, Jonathan Gruber, I want to ask you about. One of them is the fact that the new plan put forth by Republicans would get rid of the individual mandate. It's always been controversial. And instead replace it with what's called a continuous coverage or requirement for continuous coverage. We'll talk about specifically what that means in a second. But Utah Representative Jason Chaffetz on CNN today had some pretty choice words about this, and here's what he said.
We're getting rid of the individual mandate. We're getting rid of those things that people said that they don't want. And you know what? Americans have choices, and they've got to make a choice. And so maybe rather than getting that new iPhone that they just love and they want to go spend hundreds of dollars on that, maybe they should invest it in their own health care. They've got to make those decisions themselves.
Jonathan Gruber, your response to that?
Well, I mean, I think that that's all well and good for Representative Chaffetz to say, but the problem is that if you take away the individual mandate, you don't just offer a choice to a healthy person, you raise the price paid by a sick person. Remember, we ran this experiment in Massachusetts. If you try to end insurance discrimination without the individual mandate, you cause the healthy to exit the market and the sick to pay exorbitant prices. So it's not just about individual freedom. It's about making the insurance market work for the healthy and the sick.
Mm.
Moreover, the Republican alternative, which is to say, well, gee, if you don't have insurance continuously, you'll pay 30% more when you join, that has exactly the opposite effect. So think about what that does. That means that if I'm healthy, I'm going to stay out until I'm sick. Because once I'm sick, I don't mind paying extra for it, but I'm not penalized for waiting out. So the alternative does not solve the problem and leads us back to high price and failed insurance markets of the kind that we experienced in Massachusetts before we did our reform.
And the 30% extra that you'd pay upon buying back into the system would be going towards insurers. It's not a penalty paid to the IRS. Like it is under
exactly.
the Affordable
go
Care
to insurers,
Act.
And let's be clear on what this means, okay? This means that, for example, if I'm a sick person, I get cancer, and I have to leave my job to get chemotherapy for 2 months, and during that time I can't afford insurance, so I have to drop it. When I want to get back in insurance, I've now got to pay 30% more. I mean, it really is just mean-spirited and doesn't really do what it's supposed to do.
Jim Roosevelt, what's your response to that?
I completely agree with that. The individual mandate and the penalty for not having coverage actually lets people make a choice that it's worth it to me this year to pay a tax penalty and not have insurance. This plan, which increases premiums when you decide you absolutely need insurance, first of all, it raises premiums because you have sicker people in the pool. On an ongoing basis, that raises premiums. Then it raises the premiums again for the sick person who buys insurance, and it punishes them for past actions instead of giving them an annual choice when they can maybe figure out what the best, most prudent thing for themselves would be. So it's really a very counterproductive way to approach things.
Yeah, there are so many other interesting changes in this Republican proposal. We haven't really even had a chance to talk in depth about the fact that they would it would convert Medicaid to a per capita cap system versus what we have now. It would allow insurers to charge people more as they get older, but it also offers a stabilization fund of $100 billion over 10 years that states could use that money to basically bump up the size of tax credits for individuals on the market in order to sort of make the transition from the ACA to whatever new system we might have if this bill passes. There'll be a lot to chew over in the coming days. But Jonathan Gruber and Jim Roosevelt, my last question to you is, as I mentioned before, at least one in four people in Massachusetts are currently on MassHealth here. The state just got federal approval for a $52 billion Medicaid waiver for the next 5 years. We've got a lot on the line in this state. What impact, if this Republican plan passes, what impact do you think it might have on Massachusetts? John Gruber?
Yeah, I mean, the details matter, so I don't know for sure. But my quick response is what makes Massachusetts unique is that we have said we're going to take the tax credits provided by the ACA and be even more generous. We are going to have our lowest income citizens pay even less than they do in the rest of the country. That's a cost to the state. If those tax credits at the federal level get scaled back and we want to continue to honor our commitments to our lowest income citizens, that means more spending for the state of Massachusetts. So really this puts financial pressure on the state to in our efforts to try to protect our lowest income citizens.
So do you think people could lose coverage here?
I think they could lose. I think they'll certainly see a reduction in the generosity of their coverage, and that could result in a loss of coverage.
Jim Roosevelt, are you still a half glass full?
Well, I still hope that the waiver that was agreed to in the last months of the Obama administration that provides additional flexibility and funding for Massachusetts will stay in place. Prior administrations before the Trump administration, has always honored the commitments of previous presidents on these waivers. Who knows what's going to happen under President Trump? Who knows on any given day, let alone on a multi-year waiver. I also am concerned that Massachusetts and states like it that really care about the health of their poorer citizens will really suffer under the block grant approach because, frankly, it's probably going to mean less money. But in fact, the two House committees have decided to go forward with hearings on this bill before they have a Congressional Budget Office analysis of how much it'll cost and how many people will lose coverage. So we have to await that data before we really know what we're looking at here.
Well, Jim Roosevelt is the former CEO of Tufts Health Plan. It's always great to talk to you. Thank you so much for coming on today.
You're very welcome.
I'm Jonathan Gruber, professor at MIT and one of economics, I should say, and one of the architects and advisors to President Obama on the Affordable Care Act. Thank you so much, Professor Gruber.
My pleasure.